What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your co-host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 100, where we're going to discuss the topic of how to cut through the BS in an age of misinformation. And we're going to celebrate 100 episodes of providing clarity on both complex topics and disseminating information. And, I want to make an announcement for today's episode. I'm pleased to be joined once again by my original co-host and good friend, Jeff Black, who's on the other line, joining me for episode 100. So in honor of our old format, I want to start today's podcast off by having us both give an update on what's been going on with our training, you know, nutrition and life as a whole. As lately, you know, I've just been jumping into the topics right off the rip. But on today's show, it's going to be more of a reflection on what's going on with us, what we've been trying to do with the show for the past 2 years, and kind of giving you guys some background information and just going into a critical thinking conversation on how to interpret information, but also who to look to for quality information, because we're in an age of information where it's overwhelming, the amount of things that are coming at us, especially with social media and these different platforms. And a lot of times people are getting bombarded with an overabundance of information, but not quality information. So they're left confused. And that was really why Jeff and I came together as a whole 2 years ago to create this podcast. So Jeff, I want you to start off and let us know, give us a little background on what's been going on with you in terms of your training, nutrition, the book, your life as a whole. It's been about 3 months since you've been on the show, man. So you got a good amount to catch us up on.
Well, first off, I've missed everybody. I've missed you, seeing you weekly. You know, we chatted and I just kind of needed a break, man. Being as you and I have talked privately, being a health educator just isn't my number one jam. I love sharing what I've done as a coach. My desire was never to be in the education, to do show classes, mentorships. It's not who I am. You know that, man. And I had a chance to really kind of step back and refocus around the holidays. And I just decided to kind of go more down the author route, and I've got my book. I'm accepting pre-orders. It will ship in April. If you want it at a cheaper price, my beautiful signature and whatever you'd like me to write, as long as it's really, really fun on there. It's $29.95 plus tax of shipping. It's just expensive nowadays, but I'm looking forward to getting my story out there. Training's been good. I do legs just once a week now. I've been working on downsizing. You know, I've dropped from like 210 down to, I'm like 177 as of this morning. Nothing real crazy. My back is doing really good. I'm getting a lot of art done, every other week. I'm doing yoga once a week. I'm training 4 days a week. I'm only biking in the morning 5 times 30 a week. Jason's handling my nutrition. I thought about maybe jumping to men's physique, you know, and kind of later on down the road. But my big thing was, man, after writing that book and just kind of less like life events last few years, I realized like I didn't have a sword against myself anymore. And it really wasn't when I met that doctor in October, and he was just kind of like, I don't know how, but you're going to kind of, at this point you have damage, but you have a chance to kind of walk away and have some health. Which is something, you know, I think low key, man, in honest reflection, I think I was looking for bodybuilding to take me out, like just break something so traumatically that nobody would question if I like did myself in, which is why I always said, you know, 43 has been an interesting age because I never, ever thought I would kind of get here. And that's weird to say as a parent, but that's just part of my struggles. And I've really worked these last few years to just reframe life as a whole. And I've just enjoyed kind of going down a different path for a little bit, man. I mean, my coaching business, dude's going good. Clients go good. I'm taking more in-person people, hanging out at my gym more, giving more coaches an opportunity to start their businesses at my gym. I did away with my coaching brand. You know, I had to just kind of some stuff go on in regards to opportunities that present itself when just things came to where it was time for evolution to take place for everybody, you know? And I decided to go on my own, kind of be like rogue like you. And I'm having the time of my life. I've never been happier. And I've enjoyed it. I bought myself an A-string guitar. So, you know, you never know. I told my friend, there's a couple of us guys who write country music, but they really like low key, like death metal. So we're threatening to kind of do that for some fun, but
good for
I don't
you.
Know, man, things are good. I don't have any complaints in my world. I'm a very lucky man. And you all who have reached out to me and just said nice things and told Brandon good stuff. I really appreciate it, and I won't be a stranger. I told Brandon that. I just have an opportunity to really work on this book and kind of put it out there because, it was it compelled me to open up the After Dark series, which I do. 39,255 or 31,255 men. No, 39,000, sorry, 255 men took their life in 2022. So I've been doing an After Dark series. We just did an episode about porn and men. It's very edgy. I have my friend on there who was a war veteran. He did 200 combat missions in a forward operating base in 180 days and just was very honest about what he saw, what he went through. He was 19, 20 years old at the time, man. Just wild to have these conversations. We had one with a Church of Christ minister who's a member of my gym, and we had a great conversation about why there's a downfall of Christianity and men and spirituality. And it's just been stuff I've been intrigued to do and have these conversations that have been mooring just my own down the path of where my own personal journey is, which in my 40s is now, all right, I got 10, maybe 15 more good years left before I want to, pass this baby off and think about being Ernest Hemingway in my final years. What does it look like? And it looks like, just doing different things that still align to what I'm doing, but just in different silos than what I've explored before. And I think that's what all coaches should do. I think that you'll see Brandon evolve with, I know, stuff he's working on that he doesn't talk about publicly. And I think if you're a coach and you've been listening to this podcast, learning to grow, don't be afraid of evolution. Failure is the best thing you will ever do in your life because it's something you actually get a chance to learn from if you want to learn from it. And I'm just at that point at 43, I'm ready to learn some new things and fail while doing it.
Oh yeah, man. No, it's been cool. Obviously you and I speak a lot off air in terms of way beyond the podcast, but when we had that conversation before we recorded our last episode together, it was you wanted to focus on things outside of fitness. And that's something that I understand first and foremost because you've been in it a long time and you were just seeing, passions pulling you in a different direction, especially with the amount of time, energy, and effort you invested into this book and really trying to push it out into, obviously with book, it's not just the culmination of all your thoughts. It's essentially a memoir that you've written of your life, but it's also the promotion aspect of that and really getting it out into ether. I know that you've been doing a lot of podcasts and they're nothing to do with fitness. It is about your story. It is about opening up about deep, dark things within your past and really being able to go at war against yourself essentially and also make peace with certain things, experiences, learn from them, be able to reflect on them. They say hindsight is 20/20, but it really does take being removed from a situation to see the lessons that you could truly learn from it. Because a lot of times we encounter challenges and obstacles in our life, and they're so traumatic within that incidence, within that moment, that it kind of scars us and we don't want to look back on it. But it takes an extremely rect or you know res retrospective individual that has learned a lot, has come a long way to be able to look back on those things and say, all right, there were a lot of traumatic, aspects of that situation, that circumstance. However, there was a lot of growth. There was a lot of benefit. For every, I always say this, for every gimme, there's a gotcha. And there were things that obviously scarred you both physically and mentally, but also strengthened you, who you are today, the form, the formidable individual, essentially the persona of unbreakable. That is something that came from your childhood and from the unfortunate experiences that you encountered. However, you would not be the man you are today. You would not be the leader. You would not be the gym owner. You would not be the friend that you are today if you had you not gone through those experiences. And we know many people within the space that they haven't had any trauma. And I don't wish that upon anyone, but I think that a lot of times they can't relate and connect to people that have been through, most of the clients we work with, especially at this point, you and I both work with predominantly lifestyle clients. And it's like they're coming from a place where they've had a lot of shit go wrong. They failed over and over and over again. And sometimes, people take that on the chin and they're able to move past it. And then other times, people kind of identify themselves as a failure. And it's really important that we've been through those situations. We felt like we failed. We have been over hardships and obstacles and childhood traumas and things of that sort. We've been able to work through it, whether that be through therapy, whether that be through close friendships, either deep work, self-development, and things of that sort. And it allows us to relate more to our clientele and to really give back to a community way beyond fitness. I always say that. Coaching goes way beyond the X's and O's of just training and nutrition in terms of, the sets and reps in the gym and the, calories and macros that you're prescribing to a client. It really is about life improvement. If we could, oftentimes I find myself, obviously I'm making nutritional and supplementation and training and cardio adjustments and all the X's and O's of that aspect. But a lot of times I'm giving them life advice. I'm giving them, trying to work on lifestyle modification, habit formation, and behavior modification. And that goes way beyond. Those are things that are going to impress upon them and teach them lessons that they're going to be able to use regardless of how long we work together or, years down the line. It's going to be things that are going to be able to positively impact the trajectory of their health, their physique, how they feel, how they function, how they interact with other people. And that's a really important aspect of this. So, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I'm going to give a little recap on my own, but I did want to, every once in a while, I'm going to pull you back into the fray. Pull you back into the
That's fine.
podcasting scene, which I know you're up for, and it'll be more critical thinking conversation. So I'm looking forward to this one because it is related to fitness, but it's more so about how to be a critical thinker, how to really be objective when taking in information. And I know that you're a good individual at that because you're open-minded, but you're not so open that your brain's going to fall out. And that's something that is lacking in today's social media age, to say the least. So just a little background because, the last like 3 months that we've been doing episodes, I kind of just come in here. It's different than the format that you and I had, Jeff. I kind of just come in here and I off the rip. I'm looking at like a 45 to 50 minute block. I'm trying to keep these
I've
episodes a
been
little bit shorter.
listening. You took my advice and just got gung ho. And I said,
I
just
go
go for
right
the
into
kill,
it.
baby.
Yeah, so I go right in for it. But I do want to give a little recap because we did have initially when we first started this, it's very interesting. No one wanted to hear our recaps from the week, or at least a few listeners were not interested. But now I get questions, what's going on? And it's cool that we've built a community. We've been able to meet, I was just down in Nashville last month with you. I stayed with you, but I got to l meet listeners of the show that have been listening to us since the start. So it's really cool to have create those relationships from a long form platform, but then also be able to meet them in real life. So right now, I am about from a nutrition training aspect, I'm about 3.5 months into a building phase where I've been aiming to gain at around a 1% rate of month or rate of gain per month, which is what I found to work best at my level of advancement in terms of gaining muscle, but also avoiding excess fat gain. Then on the training side, I'm running what I refer to as an anterior posterior split, meaning I'm rotating between hitting my pushing muscles one day and then my pulling muscles the other day. So it's essentially a full body training split the entirety of the week. But I'm hitting each body part with a 3 times per week frequency, which is something I really do find a lot of benefits from higher frequency training in terms of being able to allocate more quality volume and spread it across the week. So on sessions 1, 3, and 5, I'm hitting my pu pushing muscles, which is chest, delts, triceps, and quadriceps. And then on sessions 2, 4, and 6, I'm hitting pulling muscles, which include my back, my rear delts, my biceps, and then also my hamstrings. And taking this type of approach has allowed me to accumulate more quality volume across a week while also allowing me to more effectively recover, essentially. So I'm recovering more effectively and more efficiently. So the goal is just to keep, working on pushing my training performances up over time. And then also in conjunction with that, titrating my calories up to fuel better training and more, facilitate sufficient recovery. And then when it comes to life, man, really, I got to tell you, this is something I haven't been able to speak with you about yet. But really, I took a very retrospective look at what I was doing coaching wise when I was down in Nashville. I got to interact with obviously yourself, Jason, spent a lot of times with both of you, but also there was business coaches there. There was a multitude of individuals that have a different approach, and I really did like interacting with these individuals. So really, since I've returned from Nashville, I've really been working on the back end of my systems. And that was something that I really did want to work on. I was able to see some things you were doing, see some things Jason was doing, and multiple people. And I'm kind of like the Bruce Lee mentality, take what's useful and discard what's useless for myself. And so really this whole month, I've just been working on upgrading my coaching systems and specifically my onboarding process, which was something that was taking me an extended period of time. And it's because I'm very detail oriented. I am an anal motherfucker, to be honest with you. That's just my personality type, but I'm attention to detail oriented. And that has really served me within coaching. But I also want it to be a more, I guess, flowing transitionary period for my clients. I don't want them to be overwhelmed. And I actually took some advice that your wife, provided me with in terms of, as a lifestyle client, would I be overwhelmed if I got this stuff? So I actually just finished this past weekend. I created a 40-page coaching document, and it's essentially for new clients, and it's a guide, and it's really easy. There's pictures, there's infographics, all this stuff, and it's a really easy to walk through guide, and it's now part of my onboarding process. And it's really made, and this was all with the intention of helping clients transition into the process of coaching with me in a much more effective and efficient manner, where I'm able to educate them. And I'm really focusing on the big rocks that we need to focus on to reach their specific goals. And then I'm also going through the practical application side of it. So it's not just, hey, this is what is best in terms of optimality, but it's also what's practical for your lifestyle. So I have different sections on how to integrate these big rocks and high priority principles into their lifestyle. And to do this, I not only took the advice that I received while I was down in Nashville, but I actually did a full like audit of my coaching. So what I did was I took the last 3 months and I went through all of my client onboarding processes and I looked over all the common questions I received when first bringing a client onto my roster, any limitations that they had, any things that were causing bottlenecks in the system, which were leading to confusion or maybe over analysis, like things that clients were getting tripped up on, some of the details that I would put into their programs. And so really what I tried to do was provide some further information on each of those questions within the guide. So it's almost like a frequently asked questions section as well. And other than that's been really productive. I just finished that this weekend. So I started with the recent clients that I've been onboarding for March. They've received that document and it's just been going a lot more smoothly in terms of just getting everyone on board and really making sure that I'm providing a quality service because I am someone that's very detail oriented. I like really individualized coaching, but I also want to make it easier and more efficient for them. So if I could do that by taking the time, like, dude, you know that I'm not big into like graphics and like I was using Canva and I was stuck in that thing. And you're the one that always does Canva for us. So any of the graphics we've ever had for Chasing Clarity, that's always been you. So I don't know how to use these things at all. So I was taking courses on Canva, dude. I'll tell you, it came out. It looks really, really good, really professional. But I will say that it took me an immense amount of time. Like every morning I'm spending an hour on it. Every evening I'm spending an hour on it. So I probably put like
Anyone out
80
there in the
hours into this thing.
audience want to be an assistant for Brandon and help him with his Canva? He's looking to take assistance on, so hit him up.
But you know what? I learned a lot in the process and I really like how it turned out. And I've already gotten good feedback from it from the clients that just have come on. So I'm really looking forward to continuing to amplify my services because I'm someone that I do a lot of Zoom calls. I go over and above in terms of my communication with clients, but I also want it from the front end for them to feel really comfortable with the process and just make it easier for them in totality. So other than that, man, like I mentioned, it's the first month of the week, so or the first week of the month, rather, and so that's when I usually onboard new clients. So I've been working on new nutrition training and lifestyle plans, and I'm looking forward to what this spring has in store because it's already getting warm out here, and warm to me up here is much different than you, but it's like 55, 60 degrees, and I'll take it. So I'm looking forward for what's to come, and I'm just glad to have you back on the show, and I want to now transition essentially to the topic for today. So the first thing I want to cover on today's episode is the goal of this podcast. As we've had a ton more listeners than we had 2 years ago in episode one, where we covered our initial goal in starting this podcast and how we wanted to set a better standard for the health and fitness related podcast that we were seeing in the space. Because you and I were both a part of previous podcasts, and we really saw good things that had come out of podcasting and then also things that were causing more confusion and more misinformation and disinformation than what was needed, and also we're leaving people in a place where they weren't better off. So when we first spoke about this, and this was on, we had a call over an hour long call, I want to say probably March of 2022. So
Yeah,
over
you
2 years ago
approached
at this
me with
point.
wanting to do it with you. Yeah, and I was.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when we had that call, it was the first week of March. So we're going already 2 years back. And overall, my goal with coaching, has always been to be able to bridge the gap between research and information and practical application. And really how I've tried to do that is by striking a balance between what's optimal for a client's goals and what's realistic and practical within the constraints of their lifestyle. And this is really important to me because first and foremost, I'm a practitioner. I'm not a researcher. I'm not an educator. The first thing, my first priority out of all things that I do is being a coach. And so with that being said, like I really wanted to, and when we came together, it was like, let's see if we could blend the research and bring actual evidence-based information to an audience, but then also wrap it up with the practical application side. Because there are benefit from both. So from the research perspective, I'll tell you personally, I found an immense benefit to dedicating time. And I do this each and every single day. And I'm 11 plus years into coaching and I still do this, where every day I spend at least an hour on PubMed or Google Scholar, and I'm diving into different topics that I deal with clients. So that could be related to things like nutrition, that could be training, muscle growth, and fat loss. And I found that to help me be able to break down clients' preconceived notions that they come to us with. Because we all have clients that come to us and they have been misled, whether it be by another coach, another influencer, another educator, whatever it may be. And really, what I've tried to do is better educate them on topics that they're confused on or have received misinformation and disinformation on. So 2 years ago, when I first contacted Jeff about starting this podcast, my intention behind creating the show was to educate others on what true evidence-based practice is, as we tend to have like camps in this industry where many look at their role as being one thing. So they're either just a coach, or they're just a researcher, or they're in the ivory tower, or they're just a content creator. And I truly think that the best practitioners and the best coaches that are truly helping individuals combine all these roles into one. And the issue is many look at the concept of, say, evidence-based practice as meaning that you just use PubMed, studies to back up all your statements. And although research is an important part of being evidence-based, this is a practice, meaning it considers and includes our experiences and anecdotes as coaches and fitness professionals. And I think many look at being evidence-based as this dichotomous thing, when in reality, those who truly embody evidence-based practice utilize all three components of the evidence-based model that actually originated from evidence-based medicine, which includes and considers the best available research evidence from the current body of literature on a topic. It considers the experiences, the skills, and the expertise of the practitioner, which in our case is the coach, and then the goals, the abilities, the limitations, the constraints, and the preferences of the individual client that we're working with. So when it comes to being evidence-based, or what I would prefer to, refer to, I know that evidence-based, that's a term that's very popular, but I actually would rather refer to it, and I enjoy referring to it as being evidence-informed. So I'm informed about what the evidence says, but I'm also very aware of what my clients need, and then also what my experience leads me to believe. I'm always trying to keep up to date with the research as it allows me to bridge that gap between science and practice. And by spending time digging into the literature, it allows me to better educate and inform my clients. And over the past decade, I found that being able to truly explain what we're doing and why we're doing it helps my clients to buy into the process and make better progress as a result. So I've tried to approach how I present information on this podcast in a very similar manner as how I approach coaching, which is to use my experience, my knowledge, and my expertise to create clarity on complex topics and cut through the BS and the pseudoscience that's promoted each and every day on social media, on TikTok, on all these different platforms, which they're just literally being marketed and advertised towards people and just leading to more confusion than anything else. And so I think it's really important to point out that science doesn't, tell us exactly what to do and how to do it. Research simply provides us with a guideline and information on principles, but we as a coach have to learn how to properly apply those principles to people in the real world. And so evidence-based practice shouldn't just be about research and studies, nor should it just be about anecdote and experience. It needs to blend the two. So we as coaches also have to realize that adherence underpins everything. So a program can look perfect on paper based on a client's goals. But if they can't follow through with it due to a lack of education, a lack of knowledge, or a lack of time, it won't work or provide the intended results, which is why in the last few months, the episodes have been formatted in a way. And Jeff, this was actually advice from you, where lately in all the podcasts that I've done in the last 3 months, I'll go over a concept, I'll dive into the research that we have on that specific topic, and then I provide a client case study to not only teach listeners about a topic and about the more nuanced aspects of it, but also to show them how it's applied in practice. So this is really where we're trying to blend all these things, and this is something that you and I both have experience with. So I really wanted to open up about the intention behind this show, and then also how you have found the benefit of doing so, and really being able to educate others. And I know you don't take the stance of an educator, but think about what your role is as a coach in the gym, especially. You're more so in the context of the gym. You're educating people when you're going through things because they're confused or they're coming to you with these preconceived notions such as, carbs make me fat, or I can't lose weight without, cutting out all my carbs, or all these things that those in the lifestyle, general population really give into and believe because of the nonsense that's on tabloids or that's on social media. So I'd love for you to expand upon how you found a good way to be able to present information to people where it's going to stick with them.
Man, I think when you do one reading, I read books like some opposite of what you do with the PubMed, but it's again topics on things that interest me in terms of what clients have been through or troubled them, right? What I usually work with clients on is understanding that they come to you usually with these very complex things that they've seen, i.e., like, recently, I had this guy who was trying to do this very complex workout with the featured top sets and this, that, and the other thing. And it was like this brilliant workout. But the man didn't even understand that he needed more than like 50 grams of protein. Like, so it's always tends to be very high and very top. So what I try to do is work with clients and understanding where the baseline of stuff is, and then giving them information based upon like those peak coaches I've actually worked with that I know that are going to put out good quality stuff. Like, hey, go check out this podcast because this was a great episode with da 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 da. I think you've done the same thing. I can't tell you how many times I've included our own podcast like in client emails just because, hey,
Same here.
Brandon like slammed it out. Crush this. Back when I had the TEC going, I put that in there occasionally. It was just whatever you could do from sources. And that also leads to another valuable thing. when you're a coach or you're a client, you're understanding that this information is also network disseminated. And therefore, depending upon the network that you're in, is going to be what information you see, because birds are together, flock together, birds that flock together, whatever that damn saying is. I think y'all know
Birds
that.
of a feather flock together.
Yeah, there is birds that say feather flock together. But you're going to see that. And you know, that's why, like, you tend to lean very research based. The circle you run in that way, I kind of tend to just kind of float around and be like, oh yeah, whatever, in the gym pop area. And I think, you know, that the one thing, again, that comes back to be when you're working with these clients, they generally don't understand a lot of things. So, like, last I went out to Lebanon Town Square and walked around, and I was asking people what they thought of supplements. And the question was, do you think supplements are proactive or reactive? And I got, they wouldn't answer either. It was, they think they're a scam or very expensive or they don't work. And so it lets you know people don't really know a lot, and you don't really need to overfill them. Like, I still think you could go through a grocery store on a Sunday and build your whole client book out.
And
Or
that's
any,
something, you've done, because I remember, you know, and this is something you've told me many times, but you have taken and done your own, like, mini experiments where you've went around Publix, which is a grocery mart down by you, which I heavily like because it's right down the street from where you live, and I'm
yes,
always hitting there when
sir.
I'm staying with you. However, you've went around there and asked people, do you know what a personal trainer is? Do you know what an online coach is? Do you know what a nutritionist is? And most people do not know. And that just shows, and this is the issue with that. It's not that they have to put us on a pedestal by any means, that we're a fitness or nutrition professional.
Oh, yeah.
However, what really becomes an issue with that is people don't know where to go for information. So where do they go? The place that's easiest, and it's their phone. It's Google. It is social media. It's Instagram. It's whoever has the biggest platform. And there's a massive issue with that. And a lot of times, influencers, it's people that you cannot relate to. These are unrealistic expectations. A lot of times, they don't look the way they do because of information or intellect or actual knowledge of being able to apply it to anyone but themselves. But
Wait, one second, one second. Your mic cut. No, that's serious. Maybe your headphones died. Lag. I'm gonna pause for a second.
Pause it.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait, you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that was weird as hell.
All
See, ladies and gentlemen, it's like a curse when I came back. I'll shut up and ride this one out.
right. All right. As long as you can hear me, you raise your hand if you can't hear me, my man.
Yeah, we'll do.
So, really, when it comes down to it, a lot of times people are looking at influencers as a source of information because they are inspiration, but we have to distinguish, and we have to differentiate between something you look to for inspiration and motivation and something that you look for information and application. They're two different things. And so, yes, you can look at an influencer that has an incredible physique. And I've worked with many of these individuals, and it's actually striking. It's shocking how little they know. Oftentimes, it's drug induced. A lot of them are heavily dependent on drugs, or they have very good genetics, and they look the way they do almost in spite of what they do. They don't have a lot of great habits. And the other aspect of that is, a lot of times it's not great to take information from them because they're not in the same situation as many in the lifestyle population are. They have, you know, they train for their job. So they have 3, 4 hours a day where they can devote towards training, cardio, activities, things of that sort. They have, you know, endorsement deals where they have meal prep companies, they have supplement sponsors, they have all these things at all these amenities at their disposal that you may not have access to when you have 3 kids, a professional corporate job, and you're just trying to get in workouts in a 60-minute window. So it's really important to be able to distinguish who should I look to for you know, inspiration, and who should I look to for information. And this kind of leads me to the next point of this podcast that I wanted to cover, is why I aim to empower others through education rather than engage in arguments in the internet. Because oftentimes I do get questions from my clients, or they'll send me a reel that someone else put up from some influencer, some popular influencer, and say, you know, what do you think about this? Or, you know, oftentimes I'll be on a podcast and someone will send me questions over before I get on with them, and they'll give me, like, a specific quote that someone in the fitness scene post or, you know, put up, whether it be a reel or be a infographic, whatever it may be, and be like, hey, can you dispute this? And I'm always trying to get across to them. I'll dispute the claim, but I don't need to dispute the person. That we need to separate these things, because it's not me trying to go over after people specifically. I'm not trying to engage in arguments on the internet. I don't have time for that. I'm working with real people, and I'm really trying to make an impact on the people that I work with. And so, since day one, I've always, you know, my primary goal has always been, especially with this show, is to empower people and others through education, which is why I focus on disputing false claims rather than going after the individuals who make these claims, as I want to provide others with information and education that is both useful and applicable. I'm not trying to, like, this isn't, I understand that this is very popular, but a lot of what you guys get on social media is infotainment. So it's controversial. It brings likes, it brings controversy, but it's really like diluted in terms of the actual information, what you can really apply. And unfortunately, most fitness professionals these days spend most of their time and attention on debunking myths and calling out individuals who promote these forms of misinformation. And the reason that they call them out, a lot of times it's not because they have a personal vendetta against them, but they know that it will bring clout to their page. And this is why whenever I'm asked about a specific influencer's nutritional approach or their protocol, whether it be through a message on, social media or on a podcast, I spend my time and energy focused on clarifying the principles that underlie why the approach or the protocol may or may not be effective, rather than spending my time and energy trying to tear down the individual promoting this particular approach for their own gain and profit. Because oftentimes that's what it is. Unfortunately, a lot of times, sometimes it could be due to ignorance, but there are people with vast amounts of education that promote things for their own personal profit and gain. And I don't align with that. I don't agree with that from a moral and an ethical standpoint. But also, I'm not here to impede upon anyone's business. I want to put out such good information that it overshadows the falsified claims that they're making. And I find many times that far too many individuals within our space, they claim to be a nutrition and fitness professional, but they don't conduct themselves in a professional manner at all. And despite claiming that their main focus and goal is to help others, their actions don't back up their statements. As a professional, our goal should be to raise the standard of this industry and of our profession as a whole. And that doesn't come from trying to call out and embarrass other individuals on the internet for your own personal gain and to get more likes on your posts. You should really be focusing on the clients that you work with and on really making a positive impact on those individuals. And that's why I'd never take that aspect. Yes, there are many people within our space that have much larger platforms than me that when it comes down to physiology and stuff, I'll run circles around them. And I could call them out and make a reel and do one of those spliced videos in the back. That, yes, that could make my page blow up. However, that's just not something that I align with from an ethical and a moral standpoint. I really find that we need to devote more of our effort towards putting out quality information, dispelling myths rather than other men and women, and truly helping others so that they not only know what type of information to avoid, but also what things they can and should apply to improve their body composition and health. And this is something I believe we've been aligned with, Jeff, you and I, since day one, when it comes to providing information, because you're always open-minded to hear the opinions of others, even when you don't agree. And this is something there's been many times that we don't agree on something, but and this has happened in the context of other individuals within our circle. And I think we both share the idea of being open-minded, but not so open that our brains fall out, which is what leads me to our next topic, which is going to be our approach to information dissemination. So I want to get into this, and I'd first love to hear your approach first and how you view this now as compared to when we first started in terms of how do you like in, providing information? What do you think is the most beneficial form when it comes to disseminating information? And then I can provide my own approach to doing this, as providing quality information to clients is something I think that is part of our responsibility as a coach and a guide and a leader for them.
Well, I think always just with me, when I've shown up to do this with you, is you obviously overprepare and dive in, and that was what the goal was, that me to kind of just create some thoughts to go different, bring different things up. My thing has always been, this is what I have seen when I coach people, and I want you to know, like, this stuff works, this stuff doesn't work, this stuff kind of works. I mean, you've talked about, like, I've done the weird stuff, like put people in through the fasting protocols, the keto, and they unlock, and I don't know why. And it could be maybe they've just never done it the right way, and suddenly it worked because maybe it was their 18th time and they didn't want to be a screw up on the 19th time. I don't know, but it worked. And sometimes, giving girls hit, they don't die and melt away. Like, they respond really well and they like it a couple of days a week. I don't know. I've just always tried to show up when I disseminate my information. It's either books I've read that I've been like applicable to explanations I've been able or had to have given clients, meaning, that's the whole purpose of reading, right? When a client or someone asks you a question, be able to answer that question for them. And that's like, it's like the hunt of being a better coach. You're hunting for better education. And I've just always tried to disseminate what I found to be useful and what I found to be practical and every and things that work. And I'm one of those people, man, like you said, I don't give a shit. I'll hear what anyone says. I don't care. I just want people just shut up and try something that I said. See if it works. And if it doesn't, okay, well, maybe it's not for you. Maybe it didn't work. I don't know. But magically, it just didn't reappear because I, like Brandon, don't make jack crap for money off of lying to people about something if it works or not. I'd rather just shoot you straight and be like, I don't really know. Like, I think that, in the space that there's a middle ground. You get some clients who come to you, want to buy every damn test, and you know that, Brandon. They're like wanting
Absolutely.
to spend $4,000 up front to get it all done. And that sounds outrageous, but some coaches are like, sure. And then you know what? You've got a definite answer. At least you hope. And then some people, man, they're scrounging together just to be able to afford a good coach because that's what they really want. So I think it's just listening to clients and understanding what that information you're really disseminating to them really applies to where they're actually at their fitness journey and what route's really best for them with all the circumstances involved. Like giving a woman who has three kids, 14-hour days, six meals a day to eat, plus three different workout, like that's obscene. Please stop. You know what I mean? Like there's just stuff that is just gone up. Yeah, I'll shut up.
100%. No, I think really what you're trying to get across, and it's an ideology that I agree with and I align with, is we need to meet clients where they're at. So we have worked, like I've worked with people all the way up to the Olympia level, IFBB pros, and I know that you've worked with many competitors. But then we also have, what I refer to as my lifestyle, Lisa and Gen Pop Gym. And what I do with a competitor cannot be the same that I do with a lifestyle client. There needs to be, first of all, they have different goals, different backgrounds, different lifestyles, different nutrition and training IQs, experiences, histories, backgrounds, and different needs. And so we really need to customize that to the individual. And I think when it comes to disseminating information, I've always tried to put out good information that counters the misinformation and disinformation out there that I find confuses the clients that come to me. So when I am, frequently getting the same questions from clientele, especially new clientele, right, they come to me with very There's commonalities in terms of the bottlenecks that are holding them back. They've always, tried this crash diet, or they believe that they have to stay in a restricted state all the time, or whatever it may be. They can't eat carbs. There's been many things that are commonalities amongst the clientele that I work with. That's what I really try to dig into the research. I really try to dig into my own personal anecdote and experience working with hundreds, over 1,000 clients at this point, and really try to put a comprehensive overview on a topic and really be able to educate them. And I do that through the context of either Zoom calls or email. Communication with that client. But then oftentimes I'm going to reinforce that on a podcast and I'm going to send it their way. And that's something I've done, 100 episodes now. And I've done that, in 200 other guest appearances that I've done. And what I really tried to do is I try to identify misinformation and the mistakes and issues that that information, misinformation causes. And then I also try to point to principles that are research-backed and evidence-based and that are going to provide better alternatives to the suboptimal approach many are led into.
Go.
All right. So, really, what I was saying before we took a little bit of a break is a lot of times I'm trying to identify misinformation and mistakes and issues that that misinformation is causing. So, when people are believing misinformation, it often takes them off the beaten path. It causes them to try approaches that may not be right for them, and that often leads to a suboptimal approach to their goals. And this is a result at this, following this becomes the result of taking in poor information that's so prevalent in today's day and age. And so this is why I'm not the type to make a reel where I'm trying to call someone out on the misinformation, the disinformation that they've spread, but rather I try to counter their claims with evidence, with research, and my experience to be able to reach those who need to hear it and to not be influenced by the false claims some influencer made, as I realize that calling someone out is most likely not going to change their approach. So you call out an influencer, that might get you clout on social media, but that's not really changing them because they still have an agenda. However, if you could reach the audience that they've reached and just be able to put out information that may reach some percentage of those individuals that have been led astray and really give them more of an evidence base and more of a tangible, interpretation of this concept, it's going to help them really be able to understand something and really see through some of the falsified claims that are being made by that influencer. And I also feel like being a coach has also provided me with a different ability to interpret research and make it applicable because I'm not just someone that's in academia where I'm only looking at papers or I'm only conducting research and then I'm not applying in the real world. And I think a big issue in our social media age today is that many who put out information in our space are content creators first and foremost, not coaches. So they lack experience coaching people and really implementing the methods they preach into practice, which doesn't give them the perspective of how to translate research and approaches in the real world and what is and isn't effective, because they're not utilizing it with anyone but themselves. So it may be great for the researcher that, you know, their full-time job is just creating content and working out, but it may not be applicable to all the people that are in the, you know, in the lifestyle or the general population space. And they don't even know that, and they're not even aware of that because they don't work with these individuals. And I think one of the reasons why I've been able to help people understand concepts in a more clear and concise manner, especially through the show, is because I've spent a decade plus working with clients and interacting with them and seeing how they receive information best. And then I've dedicated an immense amount of time on a daily basis to reading primary research, digging in way beyond the abstract, which is what most people do. Honestly, they just look at the abstract, but I've dug in way beyond that. And I spent any little free time I've had trying to get better at not only interpreting information and data, but then disseminating in long form content in a manner that's easy to understand. So I also aim to make complex information simple, but I also take on the philosophy, which comes from Einstein, which is everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. As often people will take research and simplify it down so much that it loses some of the nuanced findings and aspects and then gets misappropriated. So now people are utilizing like information, they'll take research, but they take like half truths and make claims out of it. And so with that, I want to cover the next topic I want to cover is the harm that's done by misinformation and disinformation on nutrition and fitness related topics. So first and foremost, I want to, you know, I've been referring to these concepts, and I know that everyone out there may not be familiar. They may have heard these concepts, but may not know the difference between misinformation and disinformation. Mm-hmm. But in both of these cases, incorrect and inaccurate information and claims are being made and spread. But misinformation is a common and inadvertent promotion of inaccurate information, meaning someone who promotes an idea that they think sounds good, but they really don't have the education level or the domain-specific expertise on a subject to realize that what they're spreading is either based on half-truths or is in fact based on pseudoscience and there has no grounding in evidence. And then disinformation, on the other hand, is a purposeful spread of false and incorrect information to be able to sell a product or a program or to get people to align with your diet camp or with the ideology that you believe in. And most of the misinformation and disinformation in the nutrition and fitness spaces center around quick fixes and shortcut solutions, which are made to seem like they're the answer to your prayers and the solution to your problems. But they're actually just a distraction from the lifestyle change, the new habit formation, and the behavior modifications that need to be made to not only make progress and get better results, but to maintain them as well. And many of these quick fixes like fad diets, 30-day shreds, and detox cleanses are not only a distraction, but they're actually a waste of your time and energy, as these are methods that create a false sense of progress in the short term, only to be undone quickly after you finish them, which is why, if you actually look into it, there is such a high diet recidivism. It's something we've covered many times on the show, but when you look statistically, you know, up to 95% of people who go on a diet will regain all that they lost or more after getting off that diet. And a lot of times it's because they're following these fad diets that aren't customized to them. And I've met so many new clients who have spent years trying every single new diet trend only to spin their wheels and never make any progress that they've been able to maintain because these quick fixes don't promote long-term lifestyle changes that are actually sustainable. And what's really interesting was I was reading a paper before I came on here, and it's a recently published paper that was released in Sports Medicine, which is a well-known journal. And essentially what they were trying to get to is why we need to play, you know, fitness professionals need to play a more active role in challenging things like pseudoscience, baseless and exaggerated claims, and misinformation and disinformation in the fitness, health, and wellness sectors. And I have a section of the paper that I'm going to pull up that I believe best describes the age of misinformation we're dealing with and the issues it's causing. And so let me pull this up. And so the authors state, profits derived from health club memberships, exercise classes, diets, supplements, alternative therapies, and thousands of other products and services that are purported to improve health, recovery, and/or sports performance. The industry has expanded at an alarming rate, far outstripping the capacity of federal bodies to regulate the market and product consumer interests. As a result, many products are sold on baseless or exaggerated claims, feigned scientific legitimacy, and questionable evidence of safety and efficacy. The implications of the mismatch between extraordinary health and performance claims and the unextraordinary scientific evidence are discussed within this paper. Pseudoscience and so-called quick fix interventions undermine initiatives aimed at evoking long-term behavior change, impede the ongoing pursuit of sports performance, and lead to serious downstream consequences. Moreover, pseudoscience in health and wellness, if left unchecked and unchallenged, may have profound implications for the reputation of exercise science as a discipline. This is a call to action to unify those in the exercise and health-related fields around the world to more proactively challenge baseless claims and pseudoscience in the commercial health and wellness industry. Furthermore, we must shoulder the burden of ensuring that the next generation are sufficiently skilled to distinguish science from pseudoscience and information from misinformation and disinformation. Better population health, sports performance, and the very reputation of this discipline may depend on it. So essentially what this research paper is trying to highlight is the issues that are caused by giving into marketing ads around quick fixes and shortcut solutions, and how essentially what they do is they don't reinforce true habit and behavior change and the lifestyle modifications needed to not only improve your body composition, but maintain those improvements long term. And so this is really where I want to get into like the final topics of this podcast, which is, you know, our advice on who, how to know who to trust and who is an expert on a topic. So I'll give my insight as to how I, when I was coming up in this industry, how I disseminated information, how I really was able to find people within, you know, my network that I was able to look to for information. And many of them have been on the show. So someone like a Dr. Scott Stevenson, who I connected with years ago, Alan Aragon, who I was interacting with since the forum days, who has been a guest on the show, Dr. Bill Campbell, individuals like that, that I've been able to, you know, put them within my network and bounce ideas off of it and go to them for, you know, questions that I've had on a very specific topic. And this has come through really creating critical thinking skills. And that's probably the best thing that we can enforce you guys with, is being able to know who to trust and who is an expert on a topic. So I'll go through some of the criteria that I have personally and what I would suggest you guys utilize. So when it comes to consuming content, it can be difficult to know who to trust and who is an expert on a topic. And when it comes to knowing who to trust, I'd suggest you ask yourself the following questions when you come across someone in the nutrition, the fitness, or the training space. Do they provide a nuanced discussion on a topic? You know, do they acknowledge the individual differences between people, or do they make it seem like everyone responds the same way, or that there's one diet to solve the obesity epidemic or diabetes or something that lacks customization and the nuances of individualization, and acknowledging the fact that we're all different and not, you know, one protocol, one set and forget diet is not going to be applicable for everyone. Do they make absolute statements like this is always the best method, or this is the only way to get results, or you always have to do this? Whenever you hear always or very definitive statements, absolute statements, essentially, it's something to be wary about, because it's not always going to work in that context. You know, ask yourself, do they actually have experience applying the information that they're presenting, not only to themselves, but to others as well? Are they just someone that has a great physique and they've only done this to themselves and that's their N of one experiment, or, you know, their anecdata that they're alluding to, or have they worked with hundreds of people in the real world? You know, and that's really important, because you want to realize and identify that many in this space are full-time content creators, not coaches. They're selling a product or an ebook. They're not really working with people, so they can't really teach you how to apply these things to yourself or to anyone else, to be honest with you. Do they provide support and evidence for their claims? Do they make sensational posts to create controversy and get likes? Do you see them calling people out just to try to, like, calling people out that have a huge audience to be able to get more likes and more clicks and get their posts to go viral? You know, do they demonize items like, you know, seed oils or fruit or any single ingredient item or nutrient that they blame and target as the enemy and as the cause for all your issues? Now, when it comes to knowing who and who isn't an expert, it's important to realize that an expert is someone who has both knowledge and experience on a topic and has success in a field. So it has to be a blend of both. And we need to be able to prioritize the fundamental principles and big rocks and help others apply them in practice. So true expertise in applied field like nutrition coaching necessitates experience working with hundreds of clients from different backgrounds, different goals, and different abilities, and being able to create plans and programs that strike a balance between what's optimal for that specific client's goals and what's practical given the constraints of their lifestyle and their personal responsibilities. So what we have to realize is that if someone is disconnected from practice and from coaching, they don't know what truly does and doesn't work for anyone but themselves, which is why it's important to be cautious about getting information from content creators and influencers, and really should be looking for people that have actual experience working with other people. Because if it's just someone making a reel or they're just making these TikTok posts and things of that sort, but they've never done it with anyone else, their information most likely won't apply to you. So Jeff, do you have any insight that you would like to provide in terms of how to know who to trust and how do you know that someone is an expert?
Well, I think you nailed pretty much a lot of them. I think one big thing is this. Pay attention to what kind of content they post. Like, meaning, if it's only just a professional side, ask yourself, like, well, what's going on personally? Like, do you align with them in that way too? Because often that will help you see, like, the lens that they see things through to help you better understand, do you really want to follow this or not follow this? Because, people change. And I think you have to be open-minded if you're going to follow people. But for the most part, man, I think you hit it on the head. And I think you're just living a day and age where whether or not whatever we say here, it's just easier to be an expert than ever before. In fact, I don't even know what an expert even is anymore, I guess. I
All
mean, I
right.
see stuff if you watch the news, I'm like, God, you can be an expert in that?
So,
Like, you know what I
very
mean?
true.
Like, I'm like, what am I missing in my colleagues? Where that career path like to be like like an endemic like expert? I'm like, how do you like get to be like good at knowing like the zombie apocalypse expert? Like, how do you get that? Like, what?
Yeah, definitely not my chosen field of expertise, my friend.
Not
Definitely not something I was going into. But to round out today's episode, I just want to provide a little bit of practical application for the audience and really give you guys some suggestions as to what to look out for when consuming content. Because this is just something I wanted to do a podcast on this because Jeff is a critical thinker, as is myself, and I just find so many times that clients are sending me, they're DMing me this person's post or they're asking me my opinion on this person's protocol, and it's like, you guys, you're not being critical. You're not being critically minded when you're looking at this content, not realizing that it's bullshit. And I shouldn't have to tell you that. And oftentimes I will expand much further and I will attack that person in particularly. But if I could just provide you guys with some insight and some advice as to who to look to and then who to steer away from potentially, it may be advantageous in terms of your ability to disseminate information and really realize the difference between, this person is a great source of information and this person puts out a lot of false claims, unsubstantiated claims, and then also misinformation, disinformation. I probably should steer clear, which is what I've done. I've really created, I have a great interaction with social media because I've created an environment and it's essentially like I've created an echo chamber where I'm not getting posts coming up that are from people that I don't find have intellectual integrity. And so I'm in alignment with who I want to see, but I understand that not everyone has been very diligent about who they follow and who they don't follow. So when it comes to what to look out for when consuming content, the worst perpetrators of misinformation are generally fitness influencers. And this happens to be that they have these massive platforms. And what they do is they generally will use their social media platforms to demonize single nutrients and food items. So I feel like every week there's another client that's sending me a video of another individual with a huge profile or a channel who posts a reel of them in the grocery store. It always happens to be the grocery store. And they're holding a food or they're fear-mongering about why you shouldn't consume this food. And the issue with this is that many of these individuals have advanced degrees or the title of a doctor. So it's in their headline, it's in their profile, or it's in their Instagram bio name. However, it's in a field completely unrelated to nutrition, yet they use this as an appeal to authority to influence others to believe their nonsense, despite them having absolutely no academic credentials or education in the field related to nutrition, exercise science, physiology, or anything of that sort. And many of these individuals make claims that aren't substantiated by evidence. And in the rare case that they do cite research, it's almost always mechanistic research done in animal models, not applied studies that show outcomes in human beings. So these findings can't be applied to us as humans, because many times when they do these, they cite these mechanistic studies, it's on things like sucralose, or it's on dairy, or all these different things. And it's like, all right, well, let's look at the human applied studies in the randomized control trials, and they show opposite findings than what you're showing with this mechanistic animal data. And the issue is that in today's day and age, if we think about it logically, the reason why there's so much misinformation, disinformation within nutrition is because everyone eats. So everyone thinks they should share their opinion and any little knowledge that they have on nutrition, even if they don't have a background in it. And this causes misinformation to spread quickly, as a social media post that's related to health has a six times greater likelihood of going viral and being spread than a piece of scientifically accurate information. That's a statistic that they've shown. And so what we have to realize is we don't suffer from a problem of lack of information in this industry. What we suffer from is a lot of misinformation, which causes confusion for many. So when consuming your nutrition and fitness related information, especially on social media, I'd look out for common fallacies that content creators and influencers make as many of them make content that's self-serving and fits a very specific narrative. So if they have a certain diet ideology, they are under a carnivore camp or whatever it may be, like they're under one specific camp and they only propose the benefits of that, but they demonize everything else, that's a warning sign. If you see that they allow their personal bias to conflict with their content creation, that's something to look out for. If they promote a very specific diet, whether that be intermittent fasting, carnivore, whatever it may be, Atkins, whatever it may be, and they take a very, specific cherry-picked selection of evidence to reinforce their beliefs, but they don't acknowledge the other good data that shows, disparage, kind of goes against their beliefs or their diet ideology, that's something to look out for. And if they mis-extrapolate data, which many times they do, and it's not that there's an issue with believing in a method or believing in an ideology, but if you're mis-extrapolating data to try to reinforce unsubstantiated claims, it's wrong and misleading. So overall, I think it's important to follow those with expertise, experience, education, and knowledge, but also acknowledge other approaches that have efficacy and also who don't just sell a fear-mongering narrative that makes you think that fruit is poison, sugar is the devil, and that we don't need fiber in our diets or any other egregious claims out there, which these are just the most common within, 2023 to 2024. So those were just, a little bit of recent things that I hear, and it's just things without data or without substantiation. But Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on for episode 100. I'm surprised, it's crazy. It feels like just yesterday that we were recording episode one, which was setting the standard. But it's been an incredible journey. I appreciate your help through this, and if there's anything else you want to say within this podcast, let it rip, my man.
I'll be back on every so often, like B said, probably like at least once a quarter, I'll come by and say hello. But I want to say to everybody out there, this is one of those podcasts where I just kind of sit back and it makes me wonder, like, what direction do we want our space to go? I think is what I would say as my thoughts as I reflect on this, what we just talked about and Brandon had presented on. Where do we really see this going? Is it really for the better of what we can give our best to everybody who really need it? Or is it for the better of ourselves and things that we just need to hold tight to, that we hold very close to us, that make us feel better, that we just can't separate from? And I would challenge anybody who feels the latter to change, to look at growth, because there's a lot of sick people out there who really are going to need our help, man. And I just think that if the space focused more on the same energy, like I tell my sons, this is something I wish my dad had been around and said to me. The same energy you put towards being pissed off is the same energy you could put towards going and creating something. And I didn't really get
100%.
that into my 30s, and that was unfortunate for me. And I really try to tell them that. And I think it goes to business too. Like, I can spend my day being pissed off that, like, I'm about to head to a meeting where a guy, like, with a forklift punctured a 100-gallon water tank that busted through the wall of my gym, and my staff had to clean the mess up. And the guy smoked a cigarette and watched. Like, I have to go out and meet with the landlord to talk about this stuff. And it's like, the same amount of energy there, right? He could have just come in and been like, oh my God, it would have been a whole different situation. And that's why I tell everybody, like, if I sat here and let my life just be all focused on the negatives, it's a daunting world, man. And I've already been there. And especially in business, you guys are gonna have a lot of unexpected, just like that, guy with the forklift. And I just look at it like there's gonna be more than enough opportunity to be pissed when it comes out there, and you're looking about your content you're creating or content you're following. Ask yourself, does it really benefit the If you were looking at this through the opposite lens, would this message really matter to you? And what is it really saying? And I think when you see what the coach is really trying to say, you can understand if it's authentic or not.
100%. That was a great way to put it, especially with the investment of energy, because it takes the same amount of energy and effort to put out hate into the world than it does to put out good, positive things. And I think that's why I've always taken the approach where I have other colleagues and other friends that have taken the call-out culture approach, which is very popular in today's day and age. And their pages have grown immensely, much more than mine have. And I have decided that I'd rather put my energy into putting out good information that leaves people better off than they came to me at, rather than just trying to call out people. Because there's the other aspect of that, yes, this person is spreading misinformation. I don't agree with that ethically or morally, but also they have a business, they have a family. I always try to think about that. And that's something that you and I have spoken about off air. We should never be trying to tear someone else down to bring ourselves up. If I could just put out such good information that people hear and they hear this person's argument or their falsified claims, and then they hear my argument with evidence, with research, and with doing it from a good place in my heart, like I genuinely want to see people succeed and empower them through education. That's on them. I'm not telling anyone out there who to believe, but those that truly want to benefit and help themselves, they're more than able to decide for themselves. But I encourage them, try both approaches and see what works best for you. And I can almost guarantee that one that is more evidence-based and backed and has been substantiated in the trenches is going to lead you far more in the right direction than astray, like a lot of other people do. So, as always, guys, we want to thank you first and foremost for being with us for episode 100. And for those that have listened, because there are specific individuals that have told me they've listened to literally every single episode, we are truly appreciative of you guys. Thank you for being a part of the Chasing Clarity community. Jeff, sign us out for where they can find you. I'll do the same and we'll be done, my man.
I'm on Instagram, jeffunbreakableblack.com. And if you're looking to pre-order my book, they ship in April. It is riddle2unbreakable.com.
Perfect. All right, guys, as always, you guys can reach me at betacruzfitness@gmail.com. That's for coaching or Zoom consultations. You guys can also find me on Instagram, which is at @BrandonDeCruz_. And then for anything else, you guys can find me every single week here on Fridays on the Chasing Clarity podcast. Thank you guys for joining us and have yourselves a great weekend. Peace.
Peace.